Hello.
Hi. Oh, is it starting?
It is starting. Yes, today's visit is in the studio of Minji.
Yes.
Minji Kim?
Yeah, that's my legal name. And then Minji Kim is actually the most common girl's name in Korea.
Really?
Yes. So people have been very hard time to find me online. So I decided to add my mom's last name as a middle name. So my artist name is Minji Hwang Kim.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's the most common girl's name in Korea.
I know that Kim is a very common name generally, but Minji I've never heard. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you for coming.
We are in Helsinki, in actually the place where you live and work.
Yes.
So you come from Korea.
Yes.
How did you end up here in Finland?
Well, I was living in Korea and I graduated from university in 2015. And I somehow got an internship in Denmark. So I went straight to Denmark after graduation.
What were you studying there?
I was studying fine arts, but Danish embassy, like Korean embassy in Denmark, was planning this big cultural event because it was like 60th anniversary of their relationship. So they were like trying to do a big exhibition to commemorate that. So they wanted interns who majored in fine arts to come and help out.
Cool.
So I went to Denmark for that. And then when my internship was over, I didn't want to go back to Korea quite yet. So I just decided to apply for like residencies everywhere in Europe. And then I got into one in Kokkola, Finland. It's gone now, but it was part of the Nordic Art School, where I think many people have studied before. So they had this residency program to invite international artists, and we can give a talk to the students, and students can know how art world works. And so that was my first time in Finland. Well, second time, because I was here as a tourist before. But anyway, I liked it. I met some artists there who went to KUVA. And they were telling me, oh, you should apply to KUVA. I think like you're going to be a great fit. So I went back to Korea. I worked in a gallery for 2 years. And I decided, okay, I want my master's now. I think I'm ready. Where should I apply? And then Finland just like magically popped up in my head of, hey, that was great. So yeah, I applied in 2018 and I came here and I stayed ever since. Long story.
Well, long story, not that long.
Because I think I'm pretty sure I'm the first Korean student in KUVA.
Really?
Because now they have an exchange program, but before they didn't.
Okay.
And Finland is generally not a very well-known country in Korea. And fine art school, less known. But they were pretty surprised when I turned up at the interview. And they're like, oh, how did you know about us? I'm like, I did a residency year before.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, because I told you like in the before we started this that I studied in Aalto. And there were many Korean people in Aalto.
Aalto is more well known. Like before I came to Finland, I didn't know anything about KUVA. I only knew Aalto as well. But...
So you studied in, what did you study in KUVA?
Painting. I did my master's in painting.
And it was in English?
Yes.
Somehow, I don't know, when I didn't know much about Finland before coming here altogether, but I thought that in KUVA most things were in Finnish, but maybe I was just not reading well enough about it.
Masters, there are always like English programs. I think bachelor's too, but it's definitely a smaller number, especially in the painting department. Usually one or none out of the whole department would be international.
But thankfully they know English, so.
Yeah. I didn't have a big problem with it, and it was also good for me to go out and make international friends in other departments.
How did you even go to painting in the first place? Do you have some artists in your family?
No, I'm the only one, and my family's doomed because of that. I'm revealing all my family secrets out there. Well, you know, one artist in the family and your legacy's over. Everything is out there for the public. But no, none of my family are artists. But my mom is like very artistic, but she's not an artist. But I'm pretty sure I inherited my artistic side from her. I started like pretty young, 11 I think, or 12, that I started as this like extracurricular activity. In Korea, you go to this private school, it's called hagwon, after school. and you can learn curricular stuff or extracurricular stuff. So I wanted to learn art, so I asked my mom, can you send me to this like art private school? And then I never stopped since 11, like going. And yeah, naturally went on to art university.
And they were supportive of your choice to go into art.
Yes. Why did I want to go there? I think it looked fun. I was always very good at like drawing and writing, like creative things I was always really good at, and I got a lot of compliments, and maybe I decided I want to try learning it properly instead of doing it at home all the time. So yeah, I went, and they taught me how to, you know, grab hold a pencil in an artistic way, how to draw a brick with all the shadows and shades.
The classical way to...
In Korea, to go to university, you actually need like quite long classical training. Mm-hmm. A lot of kids start maybe like 15 if they want to go to a good university. So yeah, it's like very well classically trained in a way.
Yeah, in Bulgaria it's similar. I think still the entrance exams are very heavily classical.
Yeah, I like it.
It's good to know. I think it's a good skill to have.
Yeah. It's good to know how to do it and not do it. Yes. But not knowing how to do it... Well, I never knew not how to do it, but I do feel like it could limit your possibilities.
Yeah, yeah. And it definitely, I think it shows if you not know how to do it and you just do wiggle there out of... Yeah, yeah, I think so. Was it the education itself very different from the one in Finland afterwards?
My Korean university?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Like, Korea is very tough. Like, very tough on education. And my school was notorious for being tough. So, I didn't really have a good time there. It was too tough.
Oh, well.
But, so, and then I came here and I thought I made the wrong choice because it was too easy. And I'm like, I came to here to get education and nobody's educating me. So... I think like first 2 or 3 months, I was really thinking of going back to Korea, but I was so disappointed. But then summer came. Oh, in Cuba, school starts in January. So you arrive dead winter, and then few months in, like the weather turns better. So I'm like, oh, actually the weather's really getting good. Summer's coming, it's summer vacation. And then the school, it's also a different campus from where it's now. It was this temporary campus in Valilla, and they had giant studios. I think my own studio was as big as this apartment or even bigger. So I'm like, oh, actually maybe I like it here. And then yeah.
And then you studied, you did learn some things, I guess.
I don't know.
You didn't?
Well, I didn't take that many courses, to be honest. I did very minimum.
Like, okay.
Mandatory courses, history, philosophy, and then a lot of it you get it from independent studies, like a lot of the credits, like your thesis is a big chunk of credit, like some seminars, but more about talking and debating instead of actual learning, like I would imagine in Korean universities where you get a big, thick history or theoretical book and there would be test, like... Which date, which year, what did they say, like why? Mm-hmm. Which I again think is really important, like the classical training, to have this basic knowledge of
art
why
history.
We are here.
Yeah.
So I think it would have been tough if I did bachelor's here. But it's good to know how to study those things. If I want to know more, I know how to research, because I learned that in Korean universities. But in Korea, we don't do a lot of debate. Mm-hmm. So in Finland, I definitely learned how to present myself more, like how to be more confident about my art and talk about it instead of just waiting for the teacher to come and be like this and that.
Yeah, and that is a super important practical skill. That, yeah, yeah.
So I guess I didn't learn in this like book sense, but I learned how to be an artist or be an independent artist.
And that's what you are right now.
Yes.
And so you do painting? Do you do something else? Like, do you work with other mediums?
I did textile for a few years, especially during COVID years. I graduated in 2019 December, and COVID started in 2020 March, as we all know. So I was like confined into my dorm room because I was still living in a dorm. And I just like was sewing a lot. So I think during COVID years, I was doing actually quite a lot of textile. But I think maybe not anymore. I still like quilt for fun. But I don't know if I'll ever pick it up again as a serious art form.
So painting mostly?
Yeah, painting, drawing, flat media on paper.
That's very good for storage solutions.
Yeah, definitely. It's really bad once you get it framed, but it's the most annoying thing. But when it's not framed, it's good.
I mean, even when it's framed, it's much easier than if you would have like a 3D sculpture of some
sort.
Oh
yeah,
like...
sculpture. I was only thinking of canvas. Oh, sculpture, yeah, no.
So what are you working on at the moment?
For like shows, you mean?
Just generally?
Oh, general. I have a show upcoming in June, so I'm working towards that.
Where is it going to be?
Yotsa in Art Center Hiatus. There's a 25th anniversary show. There's a group show, and I'm going on a residency in Athens in 2 weeks. Well, two Athens in 2 weeks, so...
Oh, that's a great time to be in Greece.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah, definitely, because then later in the summer it's gonna get too hot there, but now it must be perfect.
It's like still 28 degrees right now.
Mm-hmm. You can still go to the beach, but you don't, you know, burn when you're not under an umbrella.
Okay, I should get an umbrella.
No,
there's sun umbrellas.
No, they have umbrellas there at the beach. No, don't worry about that. But sunscreen, probably.
Yeah, so I'm just working towards that show, but I'm not working like super intensely. Daily life, working when I have no day job, because I'm still not a full-time artist. I don't make my like entire living with art. So I work 2 days at a warehouse. So like Mondays and Tuesdays I go work at a warehouse, and other days I usually meet friends or read or work on art.
At a warehouse? What do you do in the warehouse?
It's a company that imports like Korean food. And to import food to Finland, you need these labels in Finnish and Swedish.
Yeah.
So I label the products. It's really fun.
Yeah, it sounds like something that you don't have to put like too much mental energy into that. So that's...
And funnily, most of the students there are former Kuva students, because I introduce everyone. I'm like, oh, I have a friend. Like, and she's really fast with her hands. And the owner loves it. The owner's like, artists have the fastest hands ever. Like, bring them on.
Wow, that's something like...
Yeah, so I just go there, I meet my old school friends, and we talk, and, you know, we just label stickers for a few hours, and we come home.
And you don't probably even need to know Finnish for it, because...
No.
Cool. Mm. We can talk afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay. So... Going back towards the art, what are the main themes in your work?
For maybe 2 years now, I've been focusing on self-portraits. And I think it comes from this very existential question of who am I? And I guess probably Korean culture and both my parents' religion, that my parents are very serious Buddhist. So they talk a lot about why we are here. And why we are here is because we were in the past something else. And whatever I do, they are always like warning me. You're not going to have good karma. You need to build more good karma. So whatever I do is going to affect my next self.
Yeah.
So then it's like, why am I here? Am I just a bridge to like, or you're not very special? And in Buddhism, they say your identity is like fractional. So, and very decentralized, wherein I think Western religions, it's about you. God created you. You're important. Like you're loved.
Yeah.
So I was like, And like it really came to this idea of like, why am I me? How does it feel to be someone else? Can I be not me in a way? Like, how do I escape myself? But then there's this body that I cannot really get rid of. So I think self-portraits came from a very direct approach of like, oh, let's try some self-portraits. And I always liked the genre. And then it kind of expanded this whole idea of like multiverse and maybe some quantum physics, a lot of religion, philosophy. So it's a very broad subject, but I think it's better because I'm confining myself to self-portraits. So when the concept is so broad and I have one way to approach it, it's more manageable.
It's of identity is like an endless,
yeah,
endless ocean of mm-hmm. where you can go. Yeah, it's been very interesting to me as well as a topic. But yeah, the way you have handled it, it's
trying to find an easier way to handle it or a more manageable way. Then I don't know where to start. It's too much. Mm. So I can be okay. Let's start by looking at myself in the mirror and ask, "Who are you?" Mm.
Have you come to an answer at this point? Or
No, not at all. But it's fun because I'm going to Greece. I'm reading a lot about Greek mythology. And there are a lot of this divine births where you come from an egg or Zeus turned into a swan and had an intercourse.
You know, Leda was the mother of Helen of Troy. Yes. So, yeah, she was...
She's the one who made the swan.
Yeah.
And Helen came from an egg.
Didn't Zeus give birth to Leda from to Helen from his head?
No, that's Athena.
Like, oh, was it?
Someone
okay, yeah.
broke his head
it's,
and
it's
she
It's such a
up.
Soap opera that I have forgotten how it goes.
Well, yeah, I'm like, you know, when we think about why am I here, you of course think of like your lineage. And then I want to learn more about this miraculous out of nowhere beings, because maybe they will also have an alternative answer than you came from your mom.
Very interesting. I did not expect this. This is a very nice surprise.
But yeah, Greek mythology is so fun. I want to recommend that book.
We will see the book. Yes, definitely. You know, at some point I was studying Greek myself, like when I didn't exactly know where I want to go mm-hmm. after high school, I studied in a language high school, like English language.
Mm-hmm.
So the very natural thing was to try something with that. And all the philologies mm-hmm. in the university, you can apply with English. So I was like, something a little more interesting there. What can I try? Like Greek. Okay, mm-hmm. that sounds interesting. So they took me there. I was there for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, imagine the 2 years lost.
You didn't like it?
No, I mean, it was, at first it was, I did put a lot of effort in it, mm-hmm. but then after the first year, I was like, no, this is definitely not for me. And I focused on doing art and going mm-hmm. to the academy. So the second year was mostly, just formally I was there, mm. but I wasn't really anymore. But no, definitely the mythology is something.
It's really fun.
Yeah. Now we brought the book, which is called Pandora's Jar, Women in the Greek Myths. Huh.
It's great because it goes by like character by character and goes through when they appeared and compare them. And she puts a lot of emphasis on women's perspective, definitely, of Helen of Troy. Like, how does Helen feel to be that beautiful? Or people say Helen caused the war, but wasn't it actually those goddesses who were testing Paris to like have the apple? And then, and it's just like a very fascinating point, like viewpoint of who gets to tell the story and what gets omitted as they, you know, they've been remade into so many stories and movies and other theatrical medias. So I would definitely recommend this book. Yeah,
I don't think I have thought about the Greek mythology from the women's perspective. This is a new angle, which, well, of course, it's kind of...
Oh, yeah, and I just want to talk about Medusa a little more. Like, Medusa, she lived in a cave because she didn't want to hurt anyone.
Mm.
And then this Perseus comes by, beheads her while she's sleeping. And then he uses her head to kill so many of his enemies. So he's like using her against her will when she was trying so hard to not harm people. And when he's like cutting her, he's very mean. But when she's beheaded and it's valuable to him, because he can use it as a weapon, he like puts it on a nice cushion and treats it well. And you never think of it from the Medusa's perspective of, I wasn't doing anything, I was just in my cave. And then this guy comes along, like, has no relationship with her at all. It's just a quest from some another god to like go kill her.
I mean, those gods were crazy, honestly.
Yeah, they were like really weird.
They were probably bored so much, they were like all the time, okay, like, what more crazy thing can we come up with at this point?
The next book of hers is about the goddesses of Greece. So I'm really keen to read that one and see how crazy they are.
I think they were pretty crazy also. Although, you know, the women were not treated very well in Greece at that point.
Not at all. They were not citizens.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, probably in the whole world, like a couple thousand years ago or more, women were not really thought of much of people.
I would still say like less than a century. Like if you get to voting rights, for example.
Yeah, that. Mm. Yes, yes. I mean, it's still developing. It's still we're not there yet. We're not there yet. But it's going in the right direction, at least.
Hopefully. Keep going.
Yeah. Is there some of this feminism in your work?
Yes. I like to say yes. Because I really want to tell from my perspective. And I don't think I had a very nice time growing up as a woman in Korea. It's a very patriarchal society. I think just telling a woman's story by herself is already feminism, that I can say it myself and nobody gets to tell me what to do.
I guess if your parents are Buddhist, though, they are not going to be so strict about it, or are they also?
Well, they're Buddhist, but I think they're also very Koreans in a way. But they're good. You know, they're well-educated city people who only has three daughters, so I think they are needed to be more feminist in a way.
Oh yeah, actually, why I invited you here in the podcast was when I saw your exhibition in Tem Galleria earlier this year. And I was pretty impressed with your self-portraits there.
Thank you.
Also. Yeah, definitely. They were very strong. And there is one here.
This one I'm working for the group show. The title is Liar.
Liar.
And I wanted to do like a Pinocchio.
There is something Pinocchio about it. Yeah. But what's with the bat?
It's a reference image for the bat in the drawing. There's a small one. Bats are a symbol of non-committed animals. They don't know which side they take. I wanted to put that as a little symbolism.
Liar? Why a liar? Or, I mean, if you want to say. It's okay if you don't.
It's like doing an art, especially art about yourself, you feel like you're being, you have to be more honest, but a lot of the times you're not. And I also think that's my personality, that I lie a lot in a way, or act up in a way. So, like, what is honesty?
Well, it's pretty honest to say that you're a liar. Could be said, because not everybody would admit that. And of course, everybody lies at some point.
And I'm not only saying this, like, you know, lies, very specific lies, or if I don't want to go somewhere, but I have to go. Like, my friend's opening, I'm feeling tired, but I go and I'm like, oh, I'm so happy for you. Like, isn't that also kind of lying?
Are you unhappy for them?
No, but I didn't want to be there, but I'm like, of course I'll be there for you. Now my friends are gonna be like,
maybe. No, but I mean, it's, is it lying really? Because
I feel like it's lying, because I'm trying to act in a way that I don't feel like.
But you're being supportive, so.
Yeah, so it's like, what is honesty, and is honesty always good? Because I don't think lies equal bad. If you can lie and be a good friend, try to be that instead of be honest and be a shitty friend.
Well, maybe it's not just an either or situation. Mm. Maybe it's more like a gradient.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I wouldn't define it as a lie if you don't feel like going somewhere, but you then go.
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's also a very tricky question of definition of lying, action, consequences, words.
Yeah, words are tricky. Do you have abstract works or?
No, not really. I think I tried abstract when I was like in high school, because I was reading a lot about this abstract expressionism, and a lot of those artists have crazy lives. And when you're a teenager and you want to be an artist, you're attracted to that destructive lifestyle, right?
Of course.
So I was very into it back then, but now I'm like, okay, like they were good, but it's not for me, and it's not for now, like contemporary art now.
So artists are not that crazy anymore.
I don't think they were crazy. I think it was all this media building it up, because, you know, Jackson Pollock is known for being an alcoholic, but he didn't drink when he was in the studio.
But it is true that people now, like younger people especially, drink a lot less.
Mm.
Definitely. Are they crazy in different ways though? Or are they, you know, more practical?
No idea. I feel like I'm too young to be old and too old to be young.
How old are you?
I'm 33. So when people ask me like, oh, what do kids do nowadays? Am I a kid? I never tried TikTok. I'm still on Facebook.
I think everybody's on Facebook. They just don't feel like admitting it anymore because it's a shameful thing.
But I've never been on TikTok, and I think that qualifies me as old, because I have a little sister and she was like things, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, I drew the line at TikTok. I was like, okay, this is it. Like, call me old, but I cannot go there.
But I still watch it on YouTube Shorts. It's the exact same content, but I just cannot be on TikTok.
I do that with Instagram. But yeah, I think TikTok, I mean, I have seen my partner's TikTok, and it's so, like, how to say it? In a way, it's aggressive, because it's like thing after thing, but also it's showing you a very narrow type of videos. Like, it's almost the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, if you like one dog video, you're gonna get 100 dog videos.
Yeah. Maybe you don't want 100 dog videos. Is it the case that like sometimes you might want to...
Yeah, mixing a cat.
Yeah, what's wrong with cats? Nothing wrong with them. Mm. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So which would be the social media that you use the most? What would you say?
Instagram.
Yeah, I think that the artists are mostly on Instagram.
And there are some platforms that I'm confused if it's qualified as social media, like Pinterest. I love Pinterest. Mm. I use it a lot for my like inspiration board, but there's no interaction.
You don't really
part.
Talk with people there. Yeah.
Twitter, I'm addicted to Twitter.
Oh, really?
I think more than Instagram, actually, X Twitter.
Oh, wow. I never wanted to have Twitter because it's... I see how it affects others.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, no. Yeah, of course, it depends what kind of content you see there as well. But yeah. What kind of content do you see on Twitter?
I just follow a very narrow group of people who are like working professionals, very liberal people. And I think when I was young, like in my 20s and I first started Twitter, we talked a lot about politics. But nowadays, everybody talks about healthcare, supplements, workouts, and I'm like, geez, everyone is growing old. Like in our 20s, it was all about like, let's go to a protest. Oh, like government is doing this, we need to go do something, and sharing this news that's not on the mainstream media. Nowadays, like really supplements.
When you start thinking about your health, you're old. Is that it?
Well, I get it too, because at the workplace where we started working all together maybe 5 years ago, back then, we would finish work at 9 p.m. and go party. Now, we're just talking about, oh, did you start to like try this vitamin B? One girl got a blood pressure checker, and you're like, oh, can you bring it to work so we can all check? Kind of fun.
Yeah. No, it is. I mean, whenever my dad would measure his blood pressure, I'm like, oh, check mine too. At this point, just out of fun. But, who knows when it's going to become a thing that, okay, I need to do this. But I would not. I mean, even by art standards, you are not old. You're still a young artist until 35.
Oh, you're considered. Okay, that's the limit.
Yeah, because you know, all those open calls and you know, competitions and stuff for young artists are up till 35.
I just feel like my body is not as good as before. And the more I work, the more stiff I get, my neck hurts. And just this realization of, if I want to do this for a long time, I need to start taking care of my body now. Because again, in the 20s, I don't think I had that problem of working long hours and it didn't take that long to recover.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, okay, I want to be an artist, which means I'll have a bad back for the rest of my life. So let's work out.
Do you sit when you draw or do you stand?
I have this little chair.
Oh, yeah.
So I sit, but I wish I can get a better chair.
I wonder, is sitting better for the back or standing would be better for the back?
I think they're both bad.
I mean, when you do something too much, it's and always bad.
I'm also like very leaning forward when I'm working. My wrist is a mess. My wrist is really bad, but it's okay. That's why I also don't like do textile so much, because the needlework is really a big strain on my wrist.
At least your eyes are still fine, right?
Yeah, my eyes are okay.
Have you ever had the creative block?
Oh yeah, many, many times. I think
every
other day?
Oh.
No. Like maybe between paintings, I always feel like, oh, this is it. Like I'll never be able to make something good again. Ish feeling it. I cry a lot.
Mm. And how do you overcome that?
I cry a lot.
Oh.
I cry a lot. yeah. So during my solo show, of course, it's created over a long period of time, but intensively I was working for maybe like 5 months. I quit my job and I was doing full-time work. And maybe a couple of breakdowns in between those months, like every 2 or 3 weeks.
Ooh.
I would cry a lot. My partner would be like, Jesus, like, what's going on? I would play video games. I usually don't drink, but then I would drink and I'd be like, I'm never gonna be able to make art again. Like, cancel the solo show. Like, push me off my bed so I can break my wrist. All this and then. Because I was like, okay, I can't cancel because there's a contract. But it says if I have a medical emergency, I can. So can you push me off the bed and I'll break my left wrist? Because I don't want to break my right one. And then he'd be like, you really want me to do that? And I'm like, I'll do it myself. But then after maybe 3-4 days of crying and just whining the whole time, it magically works. But if I try to stay calm and like be like, oh, it's going to be over, it never works. I don't know what is this with crying.
Crying calms you down.
Yeah, maybe, because
definitely crying calms the person down.
I'm a very tearful person, and without crying, I just cannot think straight when I get upset. So, like, first thing I do is cry. That's how I overcome my creative block.
Okay, that's a first. But it's, I mean, I think it's very healthy and very good that you are able to, you know, take things out, because that is a way to, you know, just
but
get it
out
of your system.
But it tires people around. Like, I think my partner was really tired by the end of the solo show. And when I opened it, he's like, can we not see each other for like 2 weeks now? Because you were a lot.
That might be. I guess.
Yeah, because like crying alone doesn't, it's not as cathartic as crying.
So you need a person to cry.
I can cry alone. Too. But it's better if I have someone else.
Interesting.
And I can cry and talk at the same time and be like, see, do you know what I mean? It's really difficult to be an artist.
He's a programmer, so it's like...
Do you cry a lot?
I wouldn't say a lot, but I do cry when I feel very stressed and helpless or overwhelmed. I tend to cry also. Yeah. That's how I know that crying really calms you down.
Yeah, it does.
Apart from probably I read it somewhere as well, but...
I was Googling a lot on Reddit because I was scared that my partner would be like really sick of me. So I was Googling like my GF is a crier, and there would be a lot of testimonies online. So I would send it to him and see. I'm like, I'm normal. Do you see all my online allies? They cry too. And they are in a happy relationship.
And that helped?
I don't think he ever cared. It's just like me being scared because I was always a crier. And I think I did tire some people along the way because I didn't know how to like control it. So I was like really scared that it would also tire him, that I would always like have this emotional outburst. So I was like, my GF is a crier. Reddit
is the biggest rabbit hole. I would say like
it's fun.
It is. It is a bit addictive as well. Yeah,
I go on a lot of like reality show forums because I wanna like have some online hate.
I don't know. So you watch reality shows, or just read the comments?
But not anymore. But I was really into Queer Eye.
Yeah, I usually on Reddit I read those Aita, Am I the Asshole?
Oh yeah, definitely.
That's a very that's very interesting.
A lot of the time I'm like, yes, you are.
It's also very interesting, at least in that spiral of the rabbit hole that Reddit is. Just to think, you know, sociologically, to observe people, how they react about some topic, about there is this ethical issue there, and what are people going to say? How are they going to justify things? That's what's fascinating to me there.
Yeah. When I get into like a conflict with someone else, I think of me writing this on Reddit. And the comments was probably like, oh yeah, like a bad friend, like walk away from this person. But in reality, it's really hard to do that because you also know the good parts.
Yes, I think people are, I mean, it's very easy to be...
they're very easy very, to say, like, cut it off.
Yeah, very this kind of a one direction thought. Because you don't know the context.
Yeah.
And if the person didn't explain well the context, and even if they did, still the context is larger than their post. Yeah.
That's very confusing.
Yeah, there has to be some, you know, one has to be aware of the online behavior of people and not to take it 100%. Yeah. Yeah, I'm very interested in the online. I did this whole body of work on the digital self. And
yeah.
It's like another world there. It's like another reality.
I think a lot about this in painting artist/influencers nowadays. I call them hot girls painting, but I don't think it's a real thing. But there are usually, you know, very pretty girls in a very big, well-lit studio somewhere in Brooklyn in beautiful designer dresses, and they paint.
Flowers. Or not?
I don't know, for some reason, usually self-portraits.
I haven't seen this genre.
It pops up on my feed a lot, and I'm like,
I mean, if you're interested in self-portraits, I guess.
Yeah, and I like dresses, I like pretty girls, so they're all like in one package. But then I also do wonder, what is this? Should I be in a dress and like recording myself painting? Does it work?
Have you thought of really trying to do that?
I have a gear to record myself and everything. It's right over there, the tripod, the Bluetooth thing. It's in this like little gray bag. But I'm very self-conscious, so I never tried.
Well, thank you for being here because, you know, there is a camera now over there.
You know, ArtNet says, other than networking, people discover artists through social media nowadays. I should try to put myself out there a bit more, but I think this 90s born are the last generation of the analog. Like, I didn't have a smartphone until I was like 22. So I think I'm still a bit more aware of, like, digital self is kind of a fake self, where I feel like that. Mm-hmm. While younger generation, it's so natural that online self is also you.
Yeah. That's an interesting perspective. I never thought of the digital self as being fake. I just thought it's like another.
I always thought I was like trying to be cooler.
Yeah, definitely the intention of how you present yourself there. It's so much stronger because you have more control of how you do it. In real life, you just walk on the street and, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
Do you work alone always? Have you done work with other people?
I work alone. I did a duo show once with our other artist, Shaya Cullen, a few years ago. And we are really good friends. We lived together back then, and we were also working on a show together. But we didn't, like, make a work together. We were doing our own things, but a lot of exchanging ideas and thoughts.
Well, yeah, that's also a way to work together. It doesn't have to be, like, in a one piece.
I didn't only work on it with Shaya. Because Shaya is, I guess, similar with me in personality, that he knows what he wants, and that's pretty much it. So we can exchange ideas, but we both don't expect the other person to, like, take it. Like, if you know what you want, like, that's good kind of attitude.
So you enjoy working by yourself?
Yeah.
Also, yeah.
I don't know how to react when there's other people. Like, if someone tells you, oh, this part is amazing, or this part is interesting, but you don't think like that, you're like, you're not. And then in my head I'm like, ah, you're bullshit, like, you don't know anything, this is not interesting. Or if someone doesn't find interesting what I find interesting, I want to be like, look at this, isn't this great? So I like working alone, and I like showing the final product. And I do like exhibitions because you're kind of away from the product and you can observe and judge people all you want, but you don't have to interact with them.
Okay. Yeah, in that context, I guess it's completely fine for you to have the studio in your home and you don't have to share. But was it in the, when you were studying, did you also have a separate space?
Yeah, for a master's student, you have a separate space. At least for Kuvan Kevad preparation years. And then there was one semester I shared with another artist, Camilla Mikkelsu. And then, but we were both kind of quiet, so we didn't talk that much in the studio. And then I did my exchange in London, which was a shared studio, and I never really went. I mean, I went, but I didn't work there because it felt too exposed. I don't like people, like, looking at me work. I'm sure they don't care, but it's my self-consciousness of, don't look at me.
Yeah, probably. I mean, they would probably have their own work to do.
Nobody cares, just me.
Do you have a specific process of how you work, or like some routines that would get you in the work mode?
Like, if I don't have anything that day and I can stay home and work all day, I wake up, I make tea, maybe drink like 3 cups of tea, scroll some news, and yeah, that's pretty much it. And then I turn on music and I get to work. I think that's the great thing of working from home, that I don't like to commute, so not having that commute part is really helpful.
And you don't get bored with being in the same space the whole time?
I can stay home like weeks and months without any trouble. My longest was like 6 weeks.
Wow.
But it was in Korea, so I had my groceries delivered. While here, I guess you can do it now, but it's quite expensive.
Yeah, I think you can.
Yeah, you can definitely have everything delivered.
Yeah.
I have like zero problems staying at home.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I need to move around. I cannot. I have work from home, some years ago for a while, but then I just go crazy.
Before I had a separate studio, like after school, but I didn't go there as much as I wanted because every morning I'd be like, I don't want to go outside.
Yeah, especially in Finland, I guess you could you could have that pretty easily.
Yeah, especially in the winter. And if like it's winter and then I want to work late, but public transport stops at 11, then you have to stop at 11. But like working at home, you can work until like 3 a.m. if you want to.
Do you work until 3 a.m.?
During the solo show, it happened quite often that there would be time where I would work until like 3 or 4. And then I would wake up like 11. But maybe that's because there was no light. And I was always with like artificial light. But nowadays I wake up early and I want to work with daylight. So I don't work that late.
How do you keep the focus for so long?
That's the thing. Like, it's so dark outside all the time. And in here the light is very stable because everything is artificial. And then I just lose track of time. It's not like intending to work until then. And I don't know how I keep the focus, but it's like, oh, I'm so tired. And I look at the clock and it's 3. Color pencils came with like working from home, definitely, because it's the most clean material. Like, paints are not that easy. I think my place is a little too small to paint, even if it's a small painting. Because you need the brushes, you need the palette, you need the water, like everything. But color pencils are very clean.
Yeah, we've been going through some studio questions that I usually have. But I mean, it's everything is very mixed here.
Yeah, it's a 29 square meter. But I guess so much of it is a living space that my workspace would be a 3 square meters or less.
Yeah, do you have like, I mean, it's kind of a defined area here because you have your work supplies and all, but otherwise, you don't have a boundary where the workspace ends and the living space begins.
And during show prep, it gets more intense that like this table that I usually eat and work on computers would be covered with stuff as well. So I would eat on the floor or eat on top of the fridge. But it's okay. So much of living is also working on art for artists that...
That is true.
It's hard to separate it.
Yeah. And some people maybe don't need to separate it. I mean, some people do, but like, is it mandatory? I don't know.
Before, when I was working on the duo show with Shaya, I was working on a pretty big work. And then I was like working in my bedroom too. And I got like so overwhelmed one day that I could not go into my room, because if I do, the work is right there sitting and be like, hey, you need to work on me. But I was like, I'm so tired and like I want to go to bed, but I can't. So I like had a complete breakdown. Like, and then I'm like, I can't go into my room. And like it just turned out I had to go sleep somewhere else. But luckily, it didn't happen after that, like ever. Even though I always like worked from home. So maybe it's also this thing of having a bedroom in a shared apartment. And that's my space compared to where I have this apartment. And even though it is very small, I don't know, maybe kitchen doesn't feel like a studio. I can go in the bathroom and cry. But in that apartment, because I could not... I remember that I could not go into my bedroom and I was like crying in the living room. I was like, I don't know what to do. But I do wish it was a little bigger. But I like it.
I mean, you seem to fit very like well in it. How long have you been living here, working here?
A little more than a year. I moved here last January.
Oh, so not much.
Yeah. I was living in Roihuvuori back then.
Okay.
It was a bigger apartment, but it's also a little far from the city.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not easy to go if you go to exhibitions and stuff. Do you go to exhibitions and stuff?
Yeah.
Where do you usually go?
I like to go to TM, definitely. Recently, I went to Kota 2 days ago. Museums, not so much. But I like going to Ateneum.
Ateneum?
Mm. Like, I like going there more than Hamen Kiasma or Amos Rex. I usually don't go to those three. I do go if there's an exhibition I want to see or if there's someone I know, but it's not very often that I go.
Does Ateneum give you?
Old paintings.
You like to be next to old paintings?
Yeah. I like Hugo Sinberg and his watercolors. Like, those are really fun. I think Finnish art is a little different from European art in general, that it's all very new. Like, so it's kind of fun to look at how they adapt to this like classical Europeanness and mix in their own pagan religion and Kalevala and that. I actually, Ateneum has like really great restaurant. So I go eat and then I go to the museum. I recommend that course, it's good.
So to bring you back here, you store everything, like all your art is here.
Yes.
You don't have other spaces.
Yeah. I have this drawer where I keep my unframed works, and luckily my framed works usually sell. Oh, they are either on my wall or on the floor somewhere, but not too much. That's a sculpture by Mariam Falele, and I bought it from her. That's some of my old drawings. The envelope is from an artist, Risako Yamanui. It's a silkscreen print. And then that canvas work, that's from a Korean artist called Suyan.
So you say your frameworks sell. So what if they were unframed, they wouldn't sell?
Well, if it's at an exhibition, I usually frame them.
Okay.
So then they sell. But then non-framed works, I put it up online. I take it to Painters Union sale, but not so much luck. I think people prefer it framed. It's easy.
It's easier for them, for sure. Yeah. It's not very easy for the artist, though, to have to frame always everything.
Yeah. But. And this fear of, oh, what if it doesn't sell?
Well, then maybe you put another work into that frame.
Oh, yeah, I do that very often. I swap it out.
Of course, yeah. What would you say is the most important element of this space for you?
Or this specific?
I mean, the here is where you work.
I like that it's warm. It's a very warm apartment, which helps me work. That's the best thing. It's really warm here.
It is.
And even in the winter, I can just work in a t-shirt. So that's really good to not have this feeling of I need to prepare so much to work. And that's what I also don't like about commuting, of putting on clothes, getting my bag, like packing food and then going. Well, I come down, I just change into my work t-shirt and I'm good to go.
Yeah.
Convenience is the best.
I don't know. At some point I had a studio which was like 5 minutes away from where I lived. This was the closest I've ever gotten a studio. And I felt like I'm not going anywhere and I'm not seeing anything. And now it's like 50 minutes and I feel better. Although 50 minutes is the edge of, I think.
Almost one hour.
That's the walk. Uh-huh. Like with a bike it would be 20 maybe.
I was at Hiab before, and Hiab is kind of the almost same setting. Like, you have a living space on the upper floor and then working space in the down floor, right? But it's a much bigger apartment, and I never came downstairs. Like, people made fun of it, of you get this like huge studio and you're like in the kitchen like the whole time. And I was sitting in this like one chair for entire 3 months. I never went downstairs to work. I think that's how much I don't like to move around, or this convenience is really important for me. Because here I just come down and it's right here, but here, I don't know why, when I go down it's too much of a studio that I need to feel like I really need to work. Well, that's also the thing. Even though, I guess, at least for me, when I say artists say they want to do art and they want to like work on art, but when they actually have to, like, you hate it. I'm like, I don't want to work. So having this feeling of I'm not working is also kind of good. Like, I mean, I am in my home and I can just like draw because I like to draw instead
you're
of...
You're just tricking your brain that...
Yeah, that okay. I'm not working.
Like, maybe that's why you stress so much when you have an exhibition, because then
I think so.
You're reminded that you really have to do it.
And I'm very scared that it's not going to be good and people are going to hate it and nobody's going to ask me to have a show again. This spirals and then I get scared.
Mm. So. Yeah, I have that feeling sometimes when, you know, you have an exhibition and then it's over. Mm. And then you feel like you're starting everything all over again.
Mm. That's good too. Just kind of keep it little by little. Like work a little 2 hours at home instead of commute for 30 minutes, work for hour and then commute back for another 30.
Where do you get your inspiration?
Books. I like to read lyrics. I usually start with like a word or a line. So it definitely comes from a text, and then there would be a certain emotion I get from the text. And it'd be a challenge to create that image within this restraint of a self-portrait and deliver it to the public or the viewer.
Mm. Are you thinking about the viewer when you are creating something? Is it a very specific type of books, or is it just whatever?
Just whatever. But like lyrics, I like to listen to a lot of K-pop, so I get it a lot from K-pop lyrics, which I also think is a little different from the Western pop, because we have very different sentimentality. Mm. But the TM show title is also from a K-pop song called, like, the song is called Girls, but in the chorus they say We Them Girls. And I thought it's fun because it's all me, but the title is like We and Them and Girls.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all you, but you know, you have different aspects to you.
I thought that was fun, that it's like plural, that all girls are one, or all like one girl is all. Mm. So yeah, I get a lot from, usually inspiration comes from words, I would say.
Yeah, because if you don't physically go to places, I guess something else has to come to you.
Oh, you get your inspiration from places?
I think I do. I mean, not only, but yeah.
Or you will look at something and be like, oh, like that composition is interesting.
Not so intentionally, I don't think. But it just happens there in the back somehow. Mm. But I need to see different things in front of me somehow.
Well, when I do go to see a good show, it'd be like, oh, I'm missing out on all this. But again, like good shows don't happen all the time.
No, they don't. And I mean, it doesn't have to be only like a art piece. It can just be like the building or some space somewhere in the building or outside of it. I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes I think that I should take the questions I'm asking people and really think what I would answer. Because I haven't done that.
You should have someone interview you.
Yeah, you're not the first person to say that. maybe for some occasion. I don't know. But then the question comes like, who do you have to interview you? So why did you choose that person, not another person?
Mm.
Sometimes I'm thinking maybe I should take AI to interview me. Because, you know, you can nowadays talk with it.
Yeah.
Not just write. So that could be fun.
Could be.
Anyway, yeah. Probably don't think about AI in painting because you just paint.
Yeah. AI. This, I guess, like for painting, photography has been such a big threat that we are like...
Yeah, painting went through that. Like,
like, AI got it. Like, don't worry. Like, you're not new.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because, AI generates all these images, but they're very flat.
Mm.
Like, I don't think painters are that threatened by AI because, again, we had photography.
You've been there, done that.
Yeah, like, we know. Like, we're not dead. Like, we'll survive this. But then, which art form would be threatened by AI?
I mean, digital art. Or digital painting, probably. Because in physical painting, you know, okay, maybe there can be a robot to draw, actually, but it's a very rare thing.
Then won't digital painting go into the realm of applied arts? Because how I usually define fine art is the artwork can stand by its own. And I think that's why NFTs and all those didn't work out in the end. Because if you cannot have an artwork standing for itself, they don't come into this world of fine art, which is the highest form of luxury in the art market. So they're not valuable. And if they don't make money, why would people do it anymore?
Yeah, I think people just started money laundering. That was the NFTs big thing.
Yeah, I don't get NFTs. I still get these DMs of, I'll pay you 5,000 euros worth, like dollars of worth of NFTs. I'm like, you just give me
the money?
Yeah, $3,000 in cash. Like, you get a $2,000 discount then. Yeah, I don't understand AIs and computers that much.
Yeah, I guess, of course. If you do physical stuff, it doesn't affect too much.
I saw this thing like in Korean news that they held a contest of like illustration for a book cover. And the first prize winner was an AI-generated image. And then came this whole debate of, okay, someone did generate it by entering words and picking out what's good, but they didn't actually do the work. So then should this person get the prize? Like, it was a whole debate.
What happened in the end?
I don't know. I don't think it ever came out. Like, probably resolved in some way, but it didn't make the news.
It would be interesting to know how that ended, because I think that's still a debate ongoing in many places.
And a lot of writing competitions, they get generated writings.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, selfishly, I have to say that generating some text is a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion.
It's very helpful.
Putting things into words, it's difficult.
Especially, like, for example, grant applications.
Oh, yeah.
You have to write them, but they're not a piece of artwork that you're attached to. So you just want to write what you're going to do and then...
Yeah, and it's very good in summarizing. Mm. And then if there's some little tweak that you need to do, it's so much easier to have already a block of text that you can tweak instead of nothing that you need to come up with. So the question that I guess... artists usually dread would be the cable situation here with the microphone. What would be some artists that have influenced you and you like their work or have followed their work?
Yeah, I usually have a lot of artists I like and I can talk about them a lot, but right now I don't have any, which is a rare occasion.
Maybe somebody from the past? Recent past?
I was like reading about Munch again, because he didn't have a very good relationship with women and he always portrayed women as like evil in his portraits. And all these evil emotions that he personifies are in the shape of a woman. So I was thinking like, okay, why is it okay for him to like personify jealousy into a form of a woman? But if I do that, there would be some sort of like questionings. Or it's so easy to like objectify a woman and saying it's based on personal experience. But when women do it, it becomes all like, you know, not all men. So I was like thinking that in relation to Munch. I like him a lot. Like, he's a great painter. It's a recent question that I had of him and his problematic relationship with women in general. I like Paul Gauguin a lot. another
womanizer.
Yeah, another
in a different way.
It's very problematic guy. I always feel it very guilty, but I like him because, first of all, great painter. Second of all, I like how he presents himself in relation to like liars. He builds this like very performative identity in presenting him as an artist. That I'm a half savage. He's not. But he's like, my grandfather was like Chilean or something. He's not. He was a Spaniard who moved to Chile, like a colonizer. But he's like, I'm a half savage, half civilized Parisian, and like, where do I belong? And he makes it into this like whole persona, like knowingly that this is gonna work as a marketing. And I find that fascinating of there's an artwork and there's an artist, and we have a lot of questions. How should we divide the two? You know, a lot of this canceled artists, like their artwork is great, personal life not so great, like your art is canceled. And yeah, also just this like theatrical performance of you want to promote your art, so you promote yourself. So I very find him enjoyable, like reading about him in a way. And luckily, because he's such a famous artist, there are many, many, many like articles and theses and different approaches to this that I do keep up with because I find it that interesting. And luckily, a lot of scholars are also like criticizing him. And before, they would just say he presented him this way. But now there would be research of why and how it affects decolonized people or people who are actually from that region, people he colonized in Tahiti.
Yeah, it's interesting also that he did it so long ago, this self-branding as a something thing, which is still very, I mean, very relevant nowadays for sure.
Like when he goes to an art open, he would always wear this like really big fur hat. And there would be drawings by other artists of him in a big hat because he started art late. And when he shows up with that hat, people would be like, oh, who's that guy? And they would like notice him. So that was also his like idea of being an artist, like getting noticed.
It's definitely important to get noticed. Yeah, being an artist.
Oh, that's fun. About non-womanizers, I like Georgia O'Keeffe because she's very practical. Like she comes from a farming background and she used to be a teacher for a long time. So whatever like decision she makes, it's really, really practical. And never been a farmer, but I would say in a farmer way that is this gonna work? She doesn't try to do futile stuff. Like she has her agenda. She knows what she needs to do and then she follows it. So I admire that kind of work style. Because again, before I was like very upset with destructive artists. But who knows what was going behind the scene. But her, she presents herself as, I'm a practical woman. I'm coming from a farmer like family. And I'm going to approach art in the same way. So I really enjoy that.
So you really get into the life of the artist. That it's not only how their work looks like or the themes they talk about, but just the life of them.
Yeah, I like to know why this art came out instead of... We also hear this a lot, right? That people would go to museums and be like, I can do that. Or a five-year-old can do that. But I'd like to know why it's important. So historical background, cultural background, a personal background. So I'm very into art history and history in general because of this, like, why is this important? Yeah, I like history for that reason. And I like biographies a lot.
Yeah, biographies are interesting also, like, to read or to listen to. Yeah, because there was time when I was reading physical books more. Now it's really difficult for me, but I listen to audiobooks. Do you listen to audiobooks?
No, I read.
No, you read.
I don't have very good like audio processing brain, so I like to do it physically.
But biographies is one thing that is very easy to take and somehow. I mean, it makes sense, of course. People like to know how other people live, and this is
and there's this
very basic there.
Biography and there's autobiography, and then you also start like, who wrote this biography? Like you said, when about choosing someone to interview you.
Yeah.
Like, who would write this biography? Is it done when the person was alive or dead? an autobiography? Like, why do you get to tell like the stories, or what did you choose to tell?
Like, yeah. Well, autobiography is like a self-portrait.
Yeah.
A longer self-portrait.
And there's also this fictional, like, genre of auto-fiction, where it's biographical fiction. And then it becomes like, oh, so interesting. We have some art books here, like Goggin, Hockney, Munk, Kusama, Moore Munk. This one is a book of like Marlon Dima and Edvard Munk on like portraits.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else prepared to ask you. But it's just like I told you, like, it's so interesting to meet and talk with the other person, because I have some idea beforehand, but it's so much more than what my idea was. Like, before we met, I did check your website to see something more about your art. And you don't have much words on your website.
You don't?
No, I mean,
I don't go to other people's websites very often. I'm like, I don't?
No, that's not a criticism or anything, just like an observation. Because oftentimes there would be like a statement, like, this is what my art is about type of thing.
My art since like graduating from Kufa has changed many times in different ways. And again, during COVID years, there were not a lot of opportunities. I was doing more commission-based projects. So those are more like a one-time thing than a continuation of an artwork or art practice. I feel like maybe I am finding my long practice just now. And when I was doing my website, I did take out a lot of projects because I felt like it doesn't fit in, or it fits in, but I would know why other people might be confused-ish feeling.
Yeah. No, I mean, why I said that is because, you know, sometimes you read what the person is interested in their statement, or they have said it somewhere there. But you haven't, so yeah. I was like totally surprised now to find out so many things.
And maybe I should put up my statement there now.
No, I mean, only if you want to. It's not. I'm not saying do that or no, don't do that. It's just the funny observation. Yeah, and thank you so much for this. It was super nice conversation. Maybe you can say when exactly the exhibition will be, so that somebody might go and visit.
The Art Center Hiatus would be in Jotsa from June 15th to September 15th for 2 months.
Plenty of time.
Wait, is it 2 months? No, 3 months.
Yeah. The whole summer.
Yeah, and it's gonna be a big exhibition with maybe like 20 to 30 artists, 4 curators, a lot of performances. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, wow, okay. Good luck with that.
Yeah. I'm like,
It will be fine. I'm sure it's gonna be.
Yeah.